WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Hello, everybody. This is WVUA 90.7 FM, The Capstone, and welcome to episode 2 of the Full Court Press Podcast.
Let's go.
My name is Jamie Martinez, and I'm joined by Alex Chasen and Nick Atkinson. On today's episode, look forward to breaking news, our favorite NBA moments we've seen live, and our way too early Western Conference predictions. We hope you guys enjoyed last week's podcast. Now let's get into it.
Let's get right into it, guys. All right, just a reminder, I know I said it on the last podcast, but the preseason started on Friday, September 30th. Mm-hmm. We are now almost a week into October. So the preseason's been going on for almost a week. It's looking good. We'll get into that in a few minutes, though. Yeah. A reminder to everyone, the NBA regular season starts Tuesday, October 18th. 76ers at Celtics at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Lakers at Warriors, 10 p.m. Eastern. So put that on your calendar.
It's going to be a good one.
I'm going to remind you on the next podcast, everyone, so start putting that on your calendar. The NBA is coming back.
Yes, sir.
Let's get into the breaking news. On the first off on our list, Blake Griffin signs a one-year contract with my Boston Celtics. What are your takes on this, guys?
I think that's really good for them, considering they didn't have any sort of depth. I mean, they had some depth, but, like, it's good to have a rim protector like that now.
Of course. Yeah, in my eyes, I'm not sure how this is going to fit. I know they have a lot of veteran presence already with Al Horford. Blake Griffin does bring some good interior presence, but I'm not sure how I feel about it yet, mostly because you guys still don't have, you know, that big seven-footer you guys need to protect the rim.
I don't know if we need one, though. Robert Williams protects the rim.
But I'm just saying, with him being out for a while, I'm not sure how Blake Griffin's going to hold it down. I like it, but we're going to see how he does.
I don't think he's playing a huge role. Grant Williams is that presence off the bench.
No.
Now, Grant Williams is even smaller than Robert Williams for a big man. Grant Williams is maybe 6'6". I think he's closer to 6'5", 6'4". But he's a big presence out there. He plays a bigger role than his size actually is. Blake Griffin at the end of the day is ring chasing. He said it himself. He wants to play with a winner. Same with Malcolm Brogdon. I guess they both are. But
Brogdon's young too. That's crazy to hear a young stud say.
He's kind of been like, you know, he had to carry the Pacers a little bit.
Yeah.
And now that Halliburton's there, he doesn't really have to do that anymore. He's like, you know what? I'm going to get out while I can while I'm still relatively young.
Yeah. Amen.
All right, let's get into the next news here. Tyler Hero signs a four-year, $130 million extension with the Miami Heat. Thank you to Jamie for doing the math on this next point. Around $32.5 million per year.
Big money.
Is this an overpay? And what is the future looking like with this contract? Because that's a lot of money for someone, for right now, is the sixth man.
Yeah. I don't think he's worth it, but like down the line, if he could become a starter, a little bit,
I would like to say shout out Jack Harlow. second off, this is a lot of money for your sixth man. Yeah, I do know he just won sixth man of the year. We're going to have to see how this pans out. With Kyle Lowry just getting older, it only looks like he's going to be the starter. Yeah, he's probably going to be the starter starting next year. I'm going to guess this is Kyle Lowry's goodbye season. I could be wrong. But as of right now, I do think they give him a starter contract, not for this year, but for the upcoming year.
Yeah, for right now, overpay. But Kyle Lowry's getting older. He's going to be gone soon. Jimmy Butler might get another contract from the Heat because he's younger than Lowry, but not by much. He's at 33, 34. He's getting there. So I think it's, for right now, looking at it, it's a weird contract. But down the line, like when it's like third, fourth year into the contract, I don't think it'll be an overpay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now let's get into the preseason. Victor, I'm going to mess up this name. You guys help me out. Wembanyama. Actually, that wasn't bad.
Wembanyama.
Wembanyama and Met 92 France last night played against G League Ignite and Scoot Henderson.
The GOAT.
My take on this real quick. Victor looks like an absolutely undisputed first overall pick.
Yeah, for sure.
I never saw LeBron when I was younger. He got drafted the year I was born. Obviously, I never saw Jordan or Kobe. That's many years before I was born. This is like one guy. Zion was obviously great in college, but I've never really seen someone with just raw talent.
I've
never seen it.
In my eyes, from a size perspective, I'm basing just purely off of size, this is the most hyped prospect we've had since like a Yao Ming or like a Dwight Howard. Just a physical presence inside. He's tall. He has like an 8'11" wingspan.
Yeah.
7'4". He shoots it. He had 5 blocks last night. And
37 points.
37 points, 5 blocks.
3.
Only 4 rebounds, but that's not something to worry about. He looks like a 7'4" point guard, which is absolutely terrifying.
And I know we're talking about Victor here, but you can't count out Scoot.
No,
great game as well, but obviously Victor Wembanyama kind of takes the cake a little bit.
We just
gets more of the attention.
We just 100%. Watched the future number 1 and number 2 pick go head to head. The future of the NBA is in good hands.
Now let's get into some more, I guess, actual preseason talk. Let's talk about some of our teams that we're interested in and some other news along the way. The Celtics smothered the Hornets in their first preseason game, 134-93. Preseason, I understand. You don't have to tell me that. I know it's just preseason. But with that said, 46% from three, 57% overall from the field. That's not easy to do. Yeah. And that was across the whole team, from down to the bench players. They still shot it extremely well. Quick little note, I feel like Ime's messages and lessons taught last year are still felt in the locker room with Coach Mazzulla, who was in that coaching tree last year. I think his messages are still being sent. Offense was rolling. Amazing effort on defense, which is Ime's way. Favorite player out there, Sam Hauser. 4-for-5 from three, 14 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. Watch out this season for Sam Hauser.
Okay.
Celtics ain't bad.
What do you guys think?
Oh, about the Celtics?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that, like you were saying, Udoka's presence definitely is going to have a lasting effect, especially considering they made the finals.
Of course. So,
yeah,
and it's the preseason. I get that. Celtics are looking good. I don't see them taking a major step back. They will, but nothing
Yeah, you
insane.
Saw that list last year.
Yeah.
I mean, last episode.
Colin Sexton
came off the bench last night for the Jazz. I was watching highlights this morning before I went to class, and I was like, wait. I went back to the beginning of the highlights. Colin Sexton wasn't starting. He came out, and then I looked at the box score. He was off the bench. Jordan Clarkson was starting over Colin Sexton. Why? When they have a future, possibly Donovan Mitchell. He's a very 3-and-D player,
yeah.
Like Donovan Mitchell. Can shoot, can play defense. Why coming off the bench?
I don't think we got to overreact. Yeah, I think it's preseason. He's probably just testing out new starting lineups, seeing how Clarkson would do with the starters. Sexton's also very new. Just testing him out. Maybe not going to start right off the bat. Just kind of easing him into the lineup, not just throwing him right into the fire just yet. So I'm not going to overreact about this. Colin Sexton's going to be the starting two guard. No doubt about it.
Do y'all know who the coach is this year? Because I think they fired
Quinn Snyder's gone.
Yeah.
Quinn Snyder's gone. I'm not exactly sure who the coach is at this very moment, though.
Yeah.
Well, let's jump into the Lakers.
Okay.
Here you go with Russell Westbrook, Nick. This
so,
is your guy.
I think Russ looked really good, like, as far as his energy and his confidence looked like it came back a lot. He had one play where he was driving on De'Aaron Fox and just made him look small. AD looked like he was healthy, though, for sure. And I like Kendrick Nunn's confidence shooting the ball. Like off ball. So, and what you got for the Kings, Jamie?
Yeah, so despite Russell Westbrook and the Lakers looking healthy, the Kings just blew out the Lakers in a 105-75 win, just beat them by 30. Everybody on the Kings scored except for Keon Ellis. I think he was the only one who didn't score. I mean, even Matthew Dellavedova got in there and got a bucket, so I'm proud of that. But easily the MVP was Keegan Murray, future rookie of the year, you know what I'm saying? Went out there. Had 20 points in only 16 minutes.
Yeah.
He looked unstoppable. 50% from three. He had a block, a steal, fast break dunks. He looked like a true veteran out there.
Yeah.
And I can completely understand where draft analysts were talking about this is the most NBA ready player. Mm-hmm. Keegan Murray is going to be special for Sacramento.
So I think that the Sixers, I really like how they looked, especially Tyrese Maxey. They had KD, Kyrie, and Ben Simmons out there, and Tyrese outperformed all of them. So, you know, and Ben Simmons definitely did not look confident or like a, you know, supposed superstar he's supposed to be.
And, you know, moving on to Phoenix out there, losing to the 36ers? Who?
Wow. And I just want to jump in real quick. It's Will Hardy's the coach of the Utah Jazz.
Oh, okay.
Who was the former Celtics assistant coach last year. Yeah. He was right behind Ime.
You would know that.
And I forgot that Coach Mazzulla was also second in the running. So he actually could have got the job this year for the Jazz, but they chose Will Hardy. So that's why in Mazzulla we trust.
Yeah.
Okay.
So back to the Suns. They lost to the 36ers. Not even the 76ers. The 36ers. Yeah. Like, not even 50%. I mean, all I'm going to say is Craig Randle is that guy. He went out there, I think he had 35 or 39 points.
30-something, yeah.
He shot well over 75% from three. He had 9 threes. And it wasn't pick-and-pop threes wide open in the corner. He was pulling from the logo.
He is him.
Craig Randle, I know he needs to be on a team. He really reminded me of Brandon Jennings back when he was on the Bucks. Poor guy. His career is going to get overshadowed by getting dunked on by DeAndre Jordan, but we're not going to talk about that. He was really smart with the ball. Their jump shots look identical. I think Craig Randall needs to be on a team, like, immediately. That guy is a sniper.
Yeah, I like that comparison a lot with him and Brandon Jennings.
He played pretty well. Now let's get into our favorite NBA moment we have seen either at a game or watched on TV live. Nick, you start us off.
Okay, so my favorite moment is the 2017 NBA season when Russell Westbrook broke the triple-double record and hit the game-winning three over the Nuggets. The energy of that game was, like, completely different. At that moment, you knew he was about to win MVP.
I remember watching that game in my room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a wild moment. I didn't see that one live, but I remember seeing everything on, like, House of Highlights right after. Because everybody knew who was going to break the record that that night. Oscar Robertson's record was deemed unbreakable.
Yeah.
And here comes Westbrook out of nowhere, just destroying it. And on such a special night, being capped off with a game winner, I mean, it doesn't get any better.
And what makes it even more impressive is, like, well, and just in general with that team is that only about 64% of those players – or 64% of those players out of the league that were on that team.
It's
now.
It's true, yeah.
It's crazy.
All right, you're up, Jamie.
All right, so for me, I haven't really been watching live basketball until maybe a year or two ago. My dad never really been into basketball, so I didn't really get into it until I started buying NBA 2K. So I started tuning in during two years ago in the playoffs when the Bucks won the ring. Or no, it was last year. So I think one of my favorite moments that I've seen live is I'm torn between two when Kevin Durant hit the game winner, not the game winner, but the game tire from the pull-up jump shot where he had the breadstick foot. His foot was too long.
On the line.
Foot on the line. Takes him to overtime, and they couldn't finish it out. And then right after that, in the finals against the Suns, Giannis has that insane alley-oop at the end of the game, right on top of Chris Paul getting fouled. And then right after blocking the alley-oop on DeAndre Ayton, Giannis, that man is insane.
Something different.
One of the best players I have ever watched.
For sure.
Alex? For me, I've been fortunate to attend a lot of live NBA games across the country with my dad and I. But I have to say my favorite one, or most notable, would be Jason Tatum. Rookie Jason Tatum posterizing LeBron James in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
That'd probably be the most amazing thing I've seen live in person.
That's special.
Yeah, so that's crazy.
I mean, right after that, you knew he was going to be the future of the league.
For sure.
I mean, he took his crown. So.
Okay. So I'll get us started on our Western Conference predictions. So at number 15, I got the Spurs winning around 22 games.
No way, they're for the first seed. No, I'm kidding.
But reason being because, you know, you lose Murray, who was barely even getting the team to the play-in. And just Greg Popovich even said, I wouldn't go to Vegas betting on this team. So, like,
they're tanking for Victor.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
This is Victor Wembanyama's team.
I agree because of how much love they always show to foreign players.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
Tony Parker, Mono.
Mm-hmm.
So. But next up, I got Utah. And I could see them being higher than teams I got above them, but I just don't like the defense at all, besides Rudy Gay. Like, it's just not there, in my opinion, as much.
Sexton.
Yeah, he's a good perimeter defender. And Walker Kessler's okay, I think. But I do like the GM, Danny Ainge. He's a great GM, so he knows what he's doing, for sure. Yeah.
He fleeced the Brooklyn Nets for Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Smart, basically.
Yeah, for real. So at 13, I got the Houston Rockets. I personally think Jabari Smith Jr. is the best player to come out the draft this year.
Oh,
okay. I like the stretchability that he has. He can guard the 3 through the 5 at a very high level. He can shoot the ball. I forgot how many he made in the first preseason game, but it was like close to 5 or something like that. And I think that he's going to get to play the 4 because Sengun is going to be some burn at the 5.
Yeah.
And I think Jalen Green's going to take a really big jump this year as well.
I like Jalen Green a lot.
Me too.
Yeah, me too. KPJ, I think that he could, if he can improve his playmaking ability, that'll
be
big
for
them.
He has so much potential. We just, you know, got kicked off. Well, not kicked off, but traded away from the Cavs. Yep. Had some trouble. I forget if it was legal or personal. I forget exactly what it was.
It was locker. Yeah.
Personal. But
him and Christian Wood.
Yeah, he was in a locker room.
He had a little bit of trouble, but I wish the best for him. I think he has a bright future if he can get the right amount of playing.
I like Josh Christopher, too.
Yeah. Oh,
he got out of the draft last year. He's a shooter. He could do it all. He's got jumps, too. Mm-hmm. That man has bounce. So they got to use him right, too.
Yeah. At 12, I got OKC. They're just barely ahead of Houston for me. Shea is really the only person that's doing that because, I mean, personally, I think he could be an all-star this year. And if Shet's there, they're probably a little bit – they could probably be above – around the 11 seed. But they're definitely going to try to tank for something this year. I heard that they might try to sit Shea a couple games or something to tank down.
I also heard a possibility that Shea – he doesn't know if he wants to be part of the rebuild. Yeah. That was just a rumor. It didn't even come from – it didn't come from Woj or Shams, like super reputable sources.
Yeah.
But it came from some sources that – they don't know if he wants to be part of the rebuild long term because he is extremely young, but he's not like 20, super. Yeah, he's not like 20. Mm-hmm. Like he's probably like 23,
24. Yeah, 24.
I think it's hard for the Thunder because they're not bad enough to where they're gonna end up with Scoot Henderson or Wembanyama.
They have picks for days though.
Yeah, they have all those picks, but I just don't see Scoot fitting into this roster, especially with Giddy. And Giddy and Shea, those are two big guards. I think Victor Wembanyama would fit perfectly in this roster, especially if they want size. But
for sure.
Again, it's going to be hard to tank for that, especially when you have a guy like Shea who's probably going to be an all-star.
Yeah. So at 11, I got the Blazers. And, I mean, Damian Lillard is not going to be able to do it all. Like, he's a great all-star player, but they have less depth than they did last year, I think. I mean, not in the starting lineup, but, like, in the bench squad. It's just not
– for sure.
It's not as good as it used to be. Mm-hmm. And, they have a couple of all-right defenders, like Jeremy Grant and Nurkic. They're definitely good. And Shaedon Sharpe, I like Shaedon Sharpe a lot, defensively at least. What y'all think about the Blazers?
I don't like them. I do think Damian Lillard is the reason they're going to win games. Yeah. Shaedon Sharpe I do really like.
Yeah, me too.
He's another guy with crazy bounce. But, again, Nurkic I don't like too much. I know he's one of the higher-end centers, but, like, the rest of the roster, especially without C.J. McCollum, they're not going to be great.
I like Jeremy Grant. I was thinking about this for a while when we were creating this list. Independently, and I was like, I could see him as a higher seed. When I get to my list, I came down back to earth. So they were my 10 seed, and they were getting all mad at me. But I came back down to earth, and I was thinking about their depth, which is non-existent.
Yeah.
So that's gonna hurt them.
Okay, so at the 10th spot, I got the Sacramento Kings.
That hurts.
Jamie has the De'Aaron Fox jersey on, too, today. He's ready to announce him at the number one seed.
Yeah, darn right. 82 wins, baby.
But I really like the pickup of Keegan Murray. I think that, like Jamie was saying, that he's the most NBA-ready prospect out of everybody that was being drafted. He'll play a big part of the team trying to ram into the playoffs, And Sabonis and Fox, I think they look really good when they're playing together. Mm-hmm. Mike Brown is a really experienced coach with championship aspirations.
That's probably my favorite part of the whole offseason was Mike Brown. That was probably the best coach that we could have gotten.
100%. And I like the shooting that they got around Fox now. Like, he's got a not similar style to, like, a Russell Westbrook and, like, I'm trying to just, finishing guard that isn't the
best
shooting.
I think Fox's best comparison would be to a John Wall.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
I'd agree.
But at the 9, this is going to be surprising to a lot of people. I got the Phoenix Suns.
Wow.
Whew.
Okay.
I like it.
So the reasons are DeAndre Ayton has not spoken to Monty Williams and what he said since the last game of the playoffs, since they got blown out by the Mavericks.
Yep.
Tough ending.
And now you have Jay Crowder not wanting to be there, and he's like the glue of the team. He's like what holds them together, and he's much more impactful than somebody would generally think about him, and their depth is definitely going to suffer if Ayton and Jay Crowder do not show up.
Mm-hmm. Or even if they show up, there's not 100% wanting to be out there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Jay Crowder said, I'm not going to be there. Like, he responded to somebody's tweet and said, I'm not going to be there.
Yeah, no, Jay Crowder wants out. I was thinking about putting that in. I had him on my list as if Jay Crowder was going to play. But as of right now, I'm thinking about lowering them down a little bit if Jay Crowder's not there because he was a big piece of the roster.
Oh, yeah, 100%. This one kind of hurts a little bit, but I got the Lakers at 8 just because Russ is there. That's the only reason. But their chemistry looked really good, like I was saying, in the preseason game. LeBron, I don't know what was up with him, but besides that, AD and Nunn looked good. And I like Max Christie a little bit. He looked like he could get some burn for the team. So.
Okay.
And at the 7th spot, I got the Mavs. I think they could be a little lower, honestly, just due to the loss.
I think they're going
to
fall off.
Yeah,
I have
them
lower.
The loss of depth. And Christian Wood, I like that. I like that pickup, but
Luka, he's off the bench.
That's what I'm saying. That's weird.
That's so wild.
Like, why would you do
JaVale
that?
JaVale McGee over him is crazy.
And they traded for him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I was about to – they're still paying him big money.
Yeah, they're going
to
pay him.
That's just – besides Dorian Finney-Smith and Reggie Bullock, I don't know who's shooting the ball for you other than Christian Wood and
Dinwiddie. But like Dinwiddie was your bench piece last year. That's got you bench points, and now he's starting, and you don't really have anything off the bench anymore because he's replacing Brunson.
Luka basically already did everything before, but now he's really going to have to do it. Yeah. And I don't think he can. I mean, not that he can't. It's more like it's not going to be enough to get wins.
It's going
to
be a lot harder. He doesn't have that piece like that. That Porzingis, what could have been. He doesn't have that second option that's going to help him out.
Well, I like Christian Wood. I really hope that he could do some sort of impactfulness on the team.
Yeah.
But at six, I got the Grizzlies.
I like it.
If Jaren was not injured, this team would be a top three team, I think, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, Ja looked really good in the preseason doing those 360 dunks. And I think Brandon Clark or Zaire Williams will be a good person to fill that four spot. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But at five, I got the Clippers. I'm not as high on Wall as other people are. Just because he's an injury-prone player, that's main skill is driving into the basket. So yeah, I mean, and the depth is not good at all, especially as far as post defense goes. Moses Brown is their backup center.
That's
what I'm saying. Yeah. He's just a lanky,
icky.
Yeah,
I'm very high though on Kawhi and Paul George being together again since Kawhi was out all last year.
Yeah,
and I'm excited to see what they can do. You see Kawhi's legs in the offseason.
Yeah, that was crazy.
They're like massive.
Robot. Yeah.
You got to look them up if you guys get a chance out there.
My opinion on the Clippers is they're going to be good, but they are probably the oldest team in the league, not named the Lakers. Their only youthful players are Terrence Mann and Luke Kennard. And Luke Kennard has a receding hairline, so I don't even know if he counts.
Moses Brown, too.
Yeah
Moses, but like
Moses Brown.
Terrence Mann, this team, I just don't see. They're going to be slow. Of course, you have John Wall, but he's had so many surgeries.
Yeah, bro, that's what I'm
saying. He's hurt. He's not who he used to be. He used to be the fastest player in the league, but that's just not the case anymore.
Reggie Jackson starting, though.
Yeah.
At least
you
think.
Playmaking.
We'll see what happens.
He is starting. But
yeah. So at four, I got the Wolves. You know, they just created that, basically, I would say big five at this point.
Did.
I mean, well, I mean, I guess, yeah, big five. D'Lo and Kyle Anderson, Cat and Gobert, like, defensively, that's pretty good. And you have the offense mixed together.
Well, not D'Lo.
Oh, yeah, of course
not. I love D'Lo.
But his offense is definitely good.
Yeah, but D'Lo's defense is a struggle. But I think all the other defensive players they have on their team is just going to – it's not going to
matter. It's going to pan it out, yeah.
Imagine the Timberwolves end up getting Nets D'Lo this year. Like, imagine D'Lo comes out of his shell, forgets everything that he once was, and he comes back to that Nets, that swag. He, you know, just transforms, buzzer beaters, three-point shooting, crossovers.
Yes.
If the Timberwolves end up with that D'Angelo Russell, all-star D'Angelo Russell, this team is probably the one seed.
Yeah, 100%. And I like the bench, too. I like Naz Reid and McDaniels and Taurean Prince. That's a great, like, little big three off the bench.
Yeah, this is like the opposite of the Clippers in a way that this is a young team.
Yeah.
This is a team that's going to run right past you, and then they got bigs. I think Karl Anthony Towns is much better at the power forward than he is at the center.
Great.
He's so soft inside, and, like, he doesn't, like, want to block shots.
No.
And, like, Rudy Gobert is so much better inside, especially as a defensive presence, and Karl Anthony Towns is literally the definition of a stretch four.
Yeah.
So I really like the Timberwolves this year.
And this is just going to take such a effort, I guess, off of Karl Anthony Towns on the defensive side.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
He's just going to be able to focus all his attention on offense.
I never was huge on Rudy Gobert. I think he's a very overrated.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he's an all-star.
No.
But for this team, he is going to be the glue.
Exactly. Yeah,
now
what they
need. Like you were saying, I think you were trying to say, is now that Karl Anthony Towns can move up to power forward, takes the pressure off Towns, who doesn't really like to play center. Now it can be Gobert, and Karl Anthony Towns can kind of be that stretch forward that can, you know, shoot from the corner because he can shoot.
Yeah.
Or also stay down low, which he's
one of the best shooting bigs we've ever seen.
All time, yeah. So at the two spot, I got the reigning champs, the Warriors.
You skipped the Nuggets, my man, three.
Dang, that's my bad.
That's okay.
I got the Nuggets.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah, appreciate it. But I got the Nuggets at three. Last year being the sixth seed with just Jokic, and they really didn't even have a bench last year, but now they bring in KCP, Aaron Gordon, MPJ, and Murray, all are going to be healthy. So that's really that's a big impact. And I think I'll see a big jump from Bones Highland this year.
I'm excited for the
Nuggets. I think Bones Highland, personally, I don't want to spoil anything, Why? I mean, I am, but I think Bones Highland is my favorite Twin Six Man of the Year.
I would like that.
I got no problem with that. Yeah, I can see that
for sure. Mm-hmm. So, but like I was saying, the Warriors at 2, the reigning champs. I've seen them be getting criminally underrated by, I think it was ESPN, having them at the 8 spot or something. Ooh, crazy wild. Like that.
That should be a criminal charge.
No, for real, it is. But, you know, Gary Payton Jr. and Otto Porter Jr., that's a big hit for sure. But, I mean, you replace him with DiVincenzo, so that's, I mean, that's a...
Dante DiVincenzo's not bad. He was a king last year. He wasn't anything special, but he's a good role player off the bench. So. I'm not mad at that. Bucks.
Yeah, I mean, did he won a championship with them that year, or mm-hmm. did he get traded?
Yeah, he was a lackluster shooter with us. He was not what he was on the Bucks. It was unfortunate because we were kind of hoping for him to fill out that Bogdan Bogdanovic role of being a shooter off the bench. He was lackluster, so hopefully he does better.
Okay, yeah, for sure. And Wiseman's going to be fully healthy coming into the season.
Wiseman.
That's
great.
Huge, yeah. But at the number one spot, I got the Pelicans. I was impressed with their playoff run last year, getting through the play-in to doing – they played against – who'd they play against the playoffs? I think it was the 2 seed, right? It wasn't the Suns, I don't think. Or was it the Suns?
Suns are the 1 seed, yeah. Okay. It was the Suns. I remember because Jose Alvarado was like sneaking up on Chris
Jose
Paul.
Jose Alvarado,
that's what I was thinking.
Grand Theft Alvarado, I love him.
I really liked how they played against the Phoenix Suns. I feel like
they got 2 games on them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And being the 8th seed coming from the play-in to do that is very impressive. Yeah. And I like some CJ moving over to the point guard, because he's got the playmaking ability and the 3 ball. So, and I like Herb Jones too.
Love Herb.
Brandon Ingram. I like their roster a lot.
Roll Tide.
Yeah, Zion Williamson and Jonas Valanciunas. That's like probably one of the best starting. That's probably
and BI.
Brandon. Oh, yeah, and Brandon Ingram, yeah. They got one of the best starting lineups in the league.
Yeah,
top 5, I'd say.
Zion's going to be an all-NBA, comeback
all-star
player of the year,
all-star.
He's going to do it all.
The caveat on Zion, the man has to, if he stays healthy, I can see him at the one spot, but when you get into my list, he's the caveat. If he can stay healthy, best team in the league, regular season-wise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even without Zion, this team's a playoff team.
For sure.
But, 100%. I mean, with him, this is a loaded roster.
For sure. And I like Willie Green as a coach.
Mm-hmm. Alex, let's go.
All right, let's get into mine. At 15, I have the Spurs.
Yeah, I mean,
no surprise. I have them winning 17 games.
It's a bad team.
They won 34 games last year. They're going to take a big step back.
Yeah.
They're going to tank in for Victor. I have them 17 and 65. Like I said last year, 34 and 48. They're going to take a step back. No real argument. No surprise. 15. Rockets. 30 and 52.
Ooh.
Last year, they were 20 and 62. I have them winning 10 more games. I think they're going to improve by that much.
That's valid.
But I don't see them like taking a huge jump to the play-in or a lower tier bad team, you could say.
Yeah.
I'm excited for their future, but right now is not their time.
Mm-hmm.
14, I have the Thunder, 32 and 50. Last year, they were 24 and 58. Again, I have them improving from last year, but they're losing Chet. He's out all year.
That's going to hurt.
Yeah,
they just traded away Derek Favors, so then they have, like, no center. They're going to be playing Pokuševski.
And Jeremiah.
Poku ain't bad, but he's more of a forward.
And Robertson Earl, which is, who is he?
Who?
No offense.
Literally.
Who?
So I think they're going to struggle with the big men. Guards, obviously fantastic. I love Lou Dort, the small. He's a small forward.
Yeah.
6'5".
Size-wise. But he is the defensive. He's kind of like Marcus Smart. He's a dog. Very defensive, huge defensive presence. Can shoot the corner three. I'm excited for the team overall, future-wise. But right now, still don't believe it's their time.
Yeah.
What I love about Lou Dort is that he doesn't try to do too much. He sticks to his strengths, and he follows what kind of coach says. You're a lockdown defender. When we're on offense, you just got to sit in the corner, catch the ball, shoot a three. He doesn't really got to do too much, but what he does perfectly.
Exactly. Now, I know you guys are going to disagree with me on this one. I have the Jazz at 12.
Whoa.
And I know the viewers are probably like, or I guess I should say listeners, because you're not watching us. You're probably like, they're the 12th seed. I mean, that's not too high. Yes, but from my other two guys here, that is high. I just don't see the Jazz being like the 15th, 14th, or 13th seed. I don't see them being bad. Like you were saying earlier, they have a pretty solid roster.
Yeah.
Sexton, Conley, they have other guys
around
them. Markkanen. Exactly, Markkanen. I forgot to mention him earlier. You know, they have good pieces around Colin Sexton, who definitely should not be the sixth man. I was infuriated this morning when I saw that.
I mean, you literally have a former sixth man of the year, Jordan Clarkson. He's right there. Exactly. I don't know why you're starting.
Why is that a thing?
I have them 33-49. So they're losing 16 more games than last year. They're not going to make the play-in. They're not going to be good. But I just don't see them falling back like tremendously to like the 15th seed. I just think they have enough veterans around them where they can kind of carry that roster to win 30-plus games.
But I feel like what Danny Ainge wanted with this team, I think he wants to tank. So I feel like no matter what, I think this team's going to lose games because that's kind of Danny Ainge's vision. He wants Wembanyama or Scoot Henderson. So I feel like that's the goal this year. I feel like you kind of just have to lose games if you're Danny Ainge.
To do that, though, they're going to have to trade. I think they're going to trade Colin.
That's why I have them.
Yeah, before the deadline.
That's why I have them losing games is because I think Colin Sexton's gone at the deadline.
Also, just for Conley's sanity, and he's old. He should not be on this team.
No.
He doesn't deserve to be on this team.
Yeah. He needs chip.
You think Sexton's going to get traded at the deadline?
Either Sexton or Conley. It's going to be one of the two.
They'll ship out Conley, but I think Sexton.
Conley will be moved to a contender where he can win a championship.
Play off the bench.
Yeah, he play off the bench, give a veteran presence, kind of just have him, you know, do his thing out there.
Why do you think they want to get rid of Sexton when I feel like he has the potential?
With so many picks that they have, at a certain point, you almost don't need him. And on such a bad roster, I feel like he won't want to be there. Like, I don't see him as that building block where you're going to build around him. Because, I mean, if you're going to tank, you just tank for Wembanyama. That's your building block. So I just don't see him being the centerpiece.
I think they can still move other pieces and tank and keep him. Because I think his future is bright. I think he has potential.
I love Sexton. That's a former Bama guy. I love the guy. It's just I don't see him being a viable number two or number one in a NBA team.
And he probably wants to be on a winner at this point in his career.
But he's going
to
be the star there. It's like, well, maybe he does want to be there.
I don't know. He'll be the star this year, but on a team that's going to win 20 games, I don't know.
33.
Yeah, I don't even have them that high.
At number 11, I have the Trailblazers.
Yeah.
39-43. Last year, they were 27-55. They're not going to be as bad as last year. If everyone stays healthy, that's the caveat on this team as well. They have Jeremy Grant, which is an upgrade in their starting lineup. But as Nick mentioned earlier, depth, atrocious. That's going to hurt them.
For real.
That's why they're not going to get into the play-in. They're not going to jump up that high. But I do have them in the 11th seed, and they could bargain with the next team I mentioned for the 10th seed. It could go either way in my mind.
They won't.
But I guess you guys know what team's coming up next, right, based off his answer. But let's jump into that right now. 10th seed, the Kings. 42-40, and I'm going to reiterate it. I think the Trailblazers and the Kings are very similar in my mind when I think about it. They could go back and forth. I can see that being a possibility.
But I'm okay with it. I mean, you have them with a winning record. I am completely fine with that.
So I have them at 42-40, 10th seed. Last year they were 30-52, so 12 more wins. 100% going to get more wins than last year.
A million percent.
Sabonis is going to be there for the whole year. Fox is going to be even better.
And then you bring in Malik Monk, Keegan Murray, Kevin Herter, Mike Brown. Exactly. I mean, this is going to be a good team.
9th seed, Mavericks. I have them falling off astronomically. Yeah. 45-37. Last year they were 52-30. So not taking too many losses back, but it's just such a big step back compared to where they should be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, last year they made the Eastern Conference Finals. They're not doing that again this year. I think they'll be lucky to stay in the playoffs if they don't get knocked out of the play-in. After Luka, Spencer, Dinwiddie, and other good pieces, it's like they kind of took a step back this year.
They have pieces, but they don't have playoff-caliber pieces.
Exactly.
It's hard. They have Luka. He has that dog in him, which is something that Chris Paul and, you know, Devin Booker don't have. But at the same time, I don't think the rest of the guys on his team do.
Christian Wood is important.
Yeah.
That is a big pickup. I can't, like, not mention that factor, but I don't think he's going to compete when it's playoff time against these bigger name all-stars. Yeah.
And, I mean, if they could move on from Spencer Dinwiddie, I don't know who would want him, but maybe get two, you know, decent 3-and-D players. I mean, maybe that could elevate them a little bit. But
just their depth's not there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
This team doesn't really have much shooting either.
That's Reggie Bullock. It's probably,
that's
and
it.
And Dorian Finney-Smith.
And Reggie Bullock wasn't even that good of a shooter in big moments on the Knicks.
No.
Like, when he was on the Knicks in the playoffs, that dude was just bricking, and it was hurting him. So Reggie Bullock, he's really got to prove himself.
At 8. Sad to say, I don't have them higher, but I just don't see it. Lakers at 8, 46-36. They're going to improve from last year. Last year they were 33.
Yeah, that was bad.
They had 33 wins last year. I just don't see him making a huge jump this year. A lot of caveats on that team. Russell Westbrook, is he going to fit in? Is he going to get moved at the deadline? Yeah. Possibly. I've been hearing a lot of that. Hey, can AD stay healthy? Is LeBron still going to age like a fine wine? Or is he going to drop off? Which I think he's more closer to dropping off than aging like a fine wine, as we saw last year. Had a lot of games off.
Yeah. I think that he's going to be putting his focus on to trying to break the scoring record more than winning games.
Yeah. And, you know, this aside from the Clippers, this is the most injury-prone team in the league. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got knees of paper, I hate to say it. But, again, kind of what Nick said, I think LeBron is more focused on outside things rather than winning, especially with his son, Bronny. It's been in the news a lot that he's trying to get him in the league and then move on to whatever team drafts him. So I don't really see this being a great year for the Lakers either.
The seventh seed, I have the Grizzlies at 48-34. Last year, they were the two seed. So they're taking a step back, but I want to preface it by saying it's only because Jaren Jackson's hurt, and he's going to be out until basically playoff time.
Yep.
If 4 to 6 months.
Which is wild to me.
That's John Morant's right-hand man.
Exactly. So I think they're still going to be great. They're still going to be... you know, play very well. And I think their record is kind of going to be a fake record. I think when it comes playoff time, if Jaren Jackson can fit in well with this team and not mess up the chemistry that is built up throughout the season, they're going to make a deep playoff run.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see them having a great regular season.
Much like the Celtics, I think early on in the season, they're not going to be stellar. But come playoff time, they're going to be a threat.
Now moving into the non-play-in teams. I have the Phoenix Suns just getting over that hump at the sixth seed. Mm-hmm. I have them winning 49 games. Last year they were 64-18.
It's crazy.
Taking a huge step back. As Nick already talked about before, DeAndre Ayton doesn't want to be there.
Nope.
Jay Crowder doesn't want to be there. And then they have Devin Booker, Chris Paul, Mikal Bridges, all good players.
Yep. Chris Paul's old, man.
He is, but he's still great. He's passed the ball, play defense. But when you're two very impactful players like Ayton and Crowder don't want to be there, that's not a recipe for success.
Very toxic.
Crowder, I don't even think he's going to play. That's what you said.
Yeah, he said he retweeted somebody saying if Jay Crowder and DeAndre Ayton will be there, and he was like, Jay Crowder will not be. He said 99 will not be there.
That's crazy. So wild. I think they're still going to be close to the 50-win mark, but it's still a major step back from last season winning 64 games.
You said Jay Crowder tweeted 99 is not going to be there?
Yes.
Hey, what if he just changes his number?
Maybe like, well, yeah, no. But 90 will be there.
Yeah.
Number five, I have the Clippers, 51-31. Like last year, they were the ninth seed, 42-40. I think the Clippers take a step back. I mean, a step up from last year. Kawhi's back. PG is there. They added the addition of John Wall. I think they're going to be an overall solid team. I'm excited for Kawhi to be back. I'm excited to see what he does in the regular season. I don't think they're going to take a huge step up to like the top three seeds, but I think they're going to take. They're going to be back. The Clippers are back. In short, the Clippers are back, and I'm excited to see what they do this year.
Yeah.
I just don't think they're going to be able to compete deep into the playoffs. I think their time. I think they're getting old. I think Kawhi's time was back with Toronto, and then the first 2 years he was with the Clippers, and then he got hurt, and I think his time is ended for making deep playoff runs.
I think so, too. They really missed their chance that year when PG drug them to the conference finals by himself. Exactly. If Kawhi would have been on that team, I mean, it would have been the Celtics-Bucks finals.
For sure. And number four, Timberwolves, 52-30. Last year they were the seventh seed. Losing Patrick Beverley is huge. No, I'm just kidding. I'm excited for the Timberwolves. I'm super excited for them. I think they have a bright young future. Everything Nick said previously, Russell, Edwards, Gobert, Towns. I'm super excited for this starting lineup and their depth. Naz Reid off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to see what they do this season. And I think they could even jump up a little higher.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd have to see how they mesh throughout the season, especially with the big guys down low. I have to see how those two work together.
Yeah.
And number three, the Pelicans. 54-28. Last year they were 36-46. Huge jump up. I don't see them making as big of a jump as the other two guys across from me, but I see them definitely making a big jump. I'm excited for their future. And I think they can be a sneaky finals team. Like I said earlier, the caveat, Zion Williamson needs to stay healthy. I'm glad he lost some weight. Hopefully he didn't lose too much weight where now he's like going to get tossed around. I don't see that happening. Last night played like a beast. B.I.'s back. CJ McCollum, huge pickup last season.
Huge.
Didn't really matter last season because they were already bad. But coming into this season with this roster right now, so excited.
Yeah,
me too.
I really like the Pelicans.
I think they relate a little bit to the 14-15 Hawks as in how good they're going to be in the regular season this year.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. At the two seed, I have the Nuggets. Same with the Clippers. The Nuggets are back. Jamal Murray's back, healthy, played great. And I forget exactly when the preseason game was, but he played pretty well.
A couple days ago, yeah.
He played very well. I'm excited for him. Last year they were the sixth seed, but like I said, they didn't have Jamal Murray. He's back. Bones Highland, like we mentioned, I think he could be the sixth man of the year.
Michael Porter Jr.
Michael Porter Jr. cannot forget about MPJ. He's also injury prone too. It really, for really every team in the NBA to be successful, have to stay healthy.
Yeah.
And so it's also with the Nuggets here too, injury prone players. Well, I guess Jamal Murray's not really injury prone, but definitely MPJ. He's had a lot of injury history. Mm-hmm. He's got to stay healthy.
It's unfortunate because he was like the number one high school player in the world.
Exactly.
He was getting Kevin Durant comparisons, being 6'11", sniper. Hopefully he can get back to that, but you know, I'm really hoping for him because if he's healthy, the Nuggets are going to be lethal.
And at the one seed, pains my heart to say this, but the NBA champions, Golden State Warriors, 59-23. Last year they were 53-29 at the third seed. I don't really see who's stopping them in the regular season. Playoff time comes and it's harder talent overall. I don't think they're going to make as big of a run as they did previous, like last year. But when it comes to the regular season, I think they're going to steamroll through it. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Wiseman is healthy coming into the season, which is huge
for
them.
Dangerous.
That is very dangerous.
Yeah, if he looks like what he did in Memphis, or at Memphis, the college, his team's going to be deadly.
Even better.
Kevon Looney, excited. Too.
Exactly, the vet. And Iguodala's back. It's just they have a very big veteran presence that has been there for years.
Yeah.
And it's only going to keep them going, especially when Curry, Klay are still playing at a high level.
Yeah, what the Clippers and the Lakers don't have is a good mix of vets and youth. And that's what the Warriors have, because you have your vets, you have Klay, Steph,
Poole.
Looney.
Cannot forget Jordan
and then
Poole.
Your youth, you have Jordan Poole, you know,
nasty.
Wiseman. This team, I love it.
I love Jordan Poole. He messed us up in the finals.
He destroyed. Four shots. That was crazy.
It was crazy. All right, now.
What you got?
All right. Let's jump into Jamie.
So, I have not shared my list into our shared doc because I want their true reactions to what I have to say.
Sounds
great. I like to stir the pot a little bit, much like what I did last week, but I truly believe my rankings, so I'd like for that to be known. I'm not just, you know, doing this for views or whatever. This is my true belief.
He's saying that because I said I was going to call him out if the Kings were higher than 7.
You said higher than 8.
Higher than 8? Thank you. Okay.
It's 15. I got the Spurs. Nothing big there.
Yeah, that's...
Absolutely no pieces. This is a team full of role players. There is only one person on that team that scored more than 15 points a game last year, and that's Keldon Johnson. And Keldon Johnson is no LeBron James. He will not get that team some more wins. I mean, I have him at 15 wins. This is a atrocious roster. Trey Jones is your starting point guard. Are you kidding me? He averaged 6 points a game last year, and that is your starting point guard. That is flat out atrocious.
Yeah, it is.
You have Joshua Primo as your sixth man.
I like that.
I'm really hoping for him. He's like 20 years old now. He was 19 when he was drafted. I have high hopes for Joshua Primo. Now is not the time. Maybe when Wembanyama gets there, but the Spurs are going to be bad. At 14, I have the Jazz. I think losing Gobert and Mitchell is going to put this franchise into poverty for a few years. They have all the picks, and that's what's going to save them in the long run. But as of this year, I just don't see it. I hear you guys bringing up Rudy Gay, but on their depth chart, he is their third power forward, and that's all he is.
Yeah.
He's like 38 years old. Rudy Gay, he's an old man. It's just bad out there in Utah. Let's move on to 13. I got the Rockets. I do think Jabari Smith will be a Rookie of the Year contender.
Yep.
Everybody knows that. He just brings a great mix of shooting, finishing, blocking. I mean, at Auburn, that dude just blocked every shot within a 5-foot radius. But outside of Jabari Smith, I mean, you have Kevin Porter Jr., Josh Christopher, and Jalen Green. That's a great guard combo. Great young guard combo. Lackluster at forward. Alperen Sengun wasn't bad last year.
Yeah.
He's not starting center. He's not there yet. So I have him at 30 wins. Not going to be a great roster, but in the future they will be. 12, I have our OKC Thunder.
Okay.
It's a young roster, but they're going to have a little bit of success. Again, we talked about Lu Dort earlier, 6'5 at forward. It's a little short, but he does his job. Chet Holmgren, that's the big part. 7'2", but he's built like a twig. He's hurt. Got hurt in a rec game. You really hate to see it.
Yeah.
It's going to be a big loss because we were love or hate the guy, we all wanted to see him play.
Yeah,
definitely.
So
high level.
it's going to be hard without him. I mean, you have Giddey. I'd love Josh Giddey. I'm a little bit higher on him than a lot of other people are. I mean, he's a 6'9" facilitator.
Yeah.
What's not to love? Shy, he's, in my eyes, he's going to be an all-star. 6'5" guard. Yeah. He's a beast. But I think what really hurts is Jeremiah Robinson Earl is your starting center.
That's
are you kidding
me? Like I said earlier, who?
Exactly. That's your starting center. He's going to bring the team down. I have him at 33 wins. 11, I have the Trailblazers.
Okay.
So, Dame Dalla, he's back. But will he be better than ever? I don't think so.
Yeah, me neither.
It's going to be Dame time out in Portland, but he's not going to be no All-NBA first team like he used to be. Especially without CJ McCollum. That
duo's over.
Yeah, that was the dynamic duo, one of the best in the league, and now it's over. You bring in Jeremy Grant, it's not going to bring in the same veteran presence, chemistry, anything as what they had with McCollum. Shaedon Sharpe, I like him. But outside of that, I just don't really
Josh
like
Hart, I forgot to mention earlier, he's a good piece for them.
Yeah,
but he's 6'5", and they play him at power forward sometimes, like what Duncan Robinson does. Yeah. But again, I like Josh Hart too, but he shouldn't be playing the four.
Three.
So from now on is where it gets a little crazy, okay?
All right, I'm braced. I got my seatbelt on.
Yeah, put your seatbelt on. This is like a roller coaster at Disneyland. Be ready.
And he said he believes this, so I'm going to take his word for it.
At 10... I have the Los Angeles Lakers.
That's not terrible.
I have the Lakers at 10.
It's not bad.
This front office has been a mess for years now. Ever since Magic Johnson left, it's just been a mess. Nobody likes Frank Vogel. I don't even know. He's not even the coach there anymore.
Darvin Ham, but I like Darvin Ham a little bit.
He's okay. He wasn't even a great player, but I mean, you have Anthony Davis, LeBron, and Westbrook, but they're all getting older. Again, like I said earlier, they have knees of paper. Westbrook's been the only consistently healthy one throughout the year. AD, I hate to say it, but like, is he even going to play more than 30 games? I really hope so.
Yeah.
But as time goes on, he's getting older. It's looking more unlikely. You have Kendrick Nunn. He's not bad. You bring in Pat Beverly. I don't know what that's going to do for team chemistry. I mean, all that beef between him and Westbrook in the past. I know they're trying to heal it, but you never know what can come back up.
Well, it kind of seemed like they squashed that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Pat Bev said that they've been best friends since he got there. So
yeah, again.
So there was some story about Westbrook bought his sister a ticket for a game. Mm-hmm. I heard that story.
Looks like they're trying to heal that, but you never know what could happen. And then again, like I said earlier, LeBron looks more focused on other things outside of winning. So.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're gonna make the play-in, and by that time, I'm sure they're gonna kick things back in a year. But in the regular season, I'm just not seeing it.
Yeah.
At 9, I have the Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah.
It's not bad. Okay.
Not
the
bad.
Mavericks, Luka
Still
Doncic.
Still haven't heard the Kings.
You gotta wait. Luka Doncic is one of my favorite players in the league, but he's not enough to carry that bad.
I agree.
That bad of a roster.
Yeah. I haven't 9 as
like,
well.
Like, why is JaVale McGee starting, dude? Over Christian Wood, like a fringe all-star?
Yeah, I mean.
And then you lose Jalen Brunson, who was fantastic in the postseason.
Yeah, he did.
Spencer Dinwiddie's now starting. He was one of the best six men that we've seen in the postseason. I mean, he was out there just putting buckets on people. Now he's starting, and you lose all of that, you know, bench pieces that you had. Again, Maxi Kleba is out there. He's your backup big man. Are you kidding me? Maxi Kleba?
That's not good.
He used to be okay, but I don't like it. So I have him at 40 wins at the 9 seed. They're not going to be great. So at 8, I have the Clippers.
Oh, God.
This is where I wanted people to brace themselves. This is the oldest team in the league. The Clippers look like an elderly center.
Yeah.
I have them at 41 wins. So just, I have everywhere from like 9 to like 6 on very tight.
Okay.
So it's not like the Clippers are going to be bad at the 8 seed. I think it's still going to be a tight race. I just think they're going to be a lower end.
Yeah.
So at 8, I have the Clippers. All your youth is in Terrence Mann, Luke Kennard, Moses Brown. Luke Kennard's, again, receding hairline. I don't like it. Terrence Mann looked really good in the postseason as PG-13's right-hand man.
He's not even that young, though. He's an older...
Anymore.
He's an older, young player.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, again, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, probably, I don't hate to say this, but they might be the best duo in the league. But with their abysmal pieces around them and how injury-prone each of them are, like, I just think they can be in the 8 seed.
Yeah.
7, here is where I bring in the Kings.
Okay, finally. So, I was like, how good. Much higher could they get?
Hey, so I have a very long reasoning for this. I'm going to just read it off how I wrote it. This is a very well-built, well-rounded roster. I think this year is finally the year where Fox breaks out and becomes the all-star after being snubbed multiple times. Like a couple of years ago, they put Mike Conley over him
when
Fox averaged 25 a game. That was just crazy to me. Fun fact, Sabonis is the only player not named Nikola Jokic to average 19, 12, and 5 in a season. Domantas Sabonis is heavily slept on. The Kings also have 9 players on their roster who averaged 10 points a game last year. Or 10 points a game or over last year, and that's not including Keegan Murray. Already, like I said earlier, Keegan Murray looks like a vet. Out there, he killed the Lakers. Summer League MVP as a rookie. He's my early favorite to win Rookie of the Year. That's a little biased. We'll see how Jabari Smith does. We'll see how Banchero does. But Keegan Murray, already looking like a beast. Mike Brown brings a lot of tenacity, charisma, and championship experience to a team that doesn't have that. I mean, this is so much better than the Luke Walton days. I did not like that man whatsoever.
Not a good coach whatsoever.
Mike Brown, I mean, you saw the video of him screaming at his players. I think that just, like, kind of builds off their relationship that they've built. They're really cool around each other. And then a little bit of a slept-on part is the veteran pieces that they brought in. Not necessarily to play, but to bring in to help the young guys. You bring in Matthew Dellavedova. He has a championship. Quinn Cook. He has championship experience. Kent Bazemore. He has a championship. Terrence Davis. He has a championship. And, like, all of those pieces to help your younger guys like Mitchell and Keegan Murray. Harrison Barnes, too. I forgot to mention him. He averaged 17 points a game last year.
And championship.
He has a championship. There's a lot of championship experience on this team. So if they do make the playoffs, I think they're one of the more well-built rosters.
I hate to say it, but you might be selling me on this.
I'm telling you.
I can see him being a higher play-in.
I didn't even mention Davion Mitchell. He's one of the best young defenders in the league. They call him Off Night. He locked up Steph Curry every time he played him. And, again, he was a Summer League MVP, too. He won it 2 years ago with him and Cam Thomas. They tied for it. He averaged more than 10 points a game last year. He was very slept on. He's the sixth man on the roster. And then I'm not even done there. Now you bring in Malik Monk, who was a very slept-on part of the Lakers last year. He had a 40-point game last year. And what I like about this most is it brings in the Kentucky chemistry with him and De'Aaron Fox. Yeah. So it's not like he's a completely new piece that nobody knows. Him and De'Aaron Fox were lights out at Kentucky. And so I'm hoping they bring back some of that into the NBA. So that's where I have the Kings. I have them at 43, 44 wins. So it's not too far off where you guys had them. Again, I have it a very tight race between these next few teams. 6, this is where I bring the Suns. Another dysfunctional front office, much like the Lakers. Ayton clearly does not want to be there. Jay Crowder does not want to be there. The loss of the 36ers is going to hurt morale for now. But over the season, that could change. But right now, I just don't see them being great. Booker and Chris Paul don't have the killer instincts like a Luka Doncic has. I mean, you clearly saw that in the playoffs. They were kind of out there just to play basketball. Luka was out there to take heads. So it's a mindset thing out here. And Dario Saric is their backup center and power forward.
That's bad.
That's just trash. I mean, especially without Jay Crowder being your backup forward. Now you have Dario Saric.
Who was hurt last year, too, so we don't even know how healthy he's
going to be. Yeah, we don't know how he's going to come in. I have him at 46 wins. That could definitely be higher or lower. This is one of the more fluctuating teams in the league. At 5, I have Minnesota, Timberwolves. Rudy Gobert will bring a much-needed defensive presence to our lackluster defense. They had Pat Bev last year. That's not too special. That was more of a perimeter defense. But now they bring an interior defense. You move Karl-Anthony Towns to his preferred position at power forward. You bring in Rudy Gobert to play defense on the inside. This will be the best big man duo in the league for years to come. Who's to say that that could change? But as of right now, this is probably my favorite big man duo. You have Anthony Edwards. He could be an all-star without a doubt.
I think so.
I think he will be. I think there's a potential to have 3 all-stars on this team. So I have them at 48 wins. D'Angelo Russell, too. You never know what he'll bring. So at 4, I have the Grizzlies. A little higher than you guys. They were the 2-seed last year, but they're not going to be the 2-seed again. They lost Jaren Jackson, De'Anthony Melton, and Kyle Anderson. De'Anthony Melton was a big piece last year. That was their sixth man. He was a speedster. He was a little shorter, but he could shoot, get to the basket. That's going to hurt him a little bit. especially with Jaren Jackson, I mean, that's like Batman without his Robin.
Yeah.
So without Jaren Jackson and Kyle Anderson, slow-mo, that was a big defensive presence. This is going to hurt. John Morant does have a big chip on his shoulder, though, so that's why I have them a little higher. He's out there for blood, losing in the playoffs last year. I think he's a sleeper for MVP.
Yeah.
And, like, aside from Bane, I do think shooting might be a problem.
Dylan Brooks.
You have Zaire Williams. But yeah. Off the bench, those guys are starters. Off the bench, shooting does not look stellar.
Yeah.
And then Santi Almada and John Conchar are their high-end bench pieces. Who?
Well, and the defense of Conchar, he can shoot the ball a little good. But yeah. The other dude, no.
Who is Santi Almada? Yeah. That's your backup center? Who? I have him at 50 wins. But I don't see them being the 2 seed like they were last year.
Is Xavier Tillman not going to be playing next year?
I didn't see him on the list, on their depth chart. So at 3, this is where I have the Nuggets. I do think they could even be 1 or 2, but as of right now, I have them at 3. Jokic, he can go 3-peat MVP. You never know.
Yeah.
They won 48 games last year without Jamal Murray. And so his presence, him coming back along with Michael Porter Jr., is going to be a big help to this roster. Mm-hmm. I think Michael Porter Jr., if he does stay healthy, he could be an all-star. You never know. Okay, Xavier Tillman is there. That didn't show up on ESPN earlier for me today. I don't know why.
Maybe this updated it.
Yeah,
Xavier
maybe.
Xavier Tillman is their center off the bench.
I like that.
Still, I agree with what you're saying.
Yeah. But nonetheless, I still don't see him being better than the Nuggets. Bones Highland, that's my sixth man of the year right there. I have him at 54 wins. Could definitely be higher. 2, I have the Pelicans. I was really debating him, putting him at 1.
Yeah.
But I decided to hold off for now.
I agree.
Much like the Cavaliers, I'm very high on them, especially being those 2 surprise teams of the year. They're one of the most well-rounded teams in basketball. Zion's going to make this team a contender, along with B.I., McCollum, Herb Jones, Jonas Valanciunas, who, fun fact, through the first half of the NBA season, had the highest three-point percentage in the league.
And he's a big man.
He was shooting like 55-60% as a big man.
On how many shots?
It was a good amount. I think him and Karl Anthony Towns were up there for most big man three-pointers in the league.
Good for him.
And so he was lights out. He has a bit of a funky shooting form, but hey, whatever works.
Yeah.
So Pelicans, Zion's going to be All-NBA if he stays healthy. I think he could be on the first team. So the Pelicans, high hopes. I have my 57 wins. At number 1, we already knew, it's Golden State. Last year's champs are looking to run it back. Steph Curry, he's going to be an MVP candidate all year. We know this. It's Steph Curry. Jordan Poole's breakout year in the playoffs will make the Warriors, they're going to be the team to beat this year. Especially with James Wiseman.
That's tough. Yeah.
I'm so high on him. If he can stay healthy and play
the season. Yeah, that was his big problem, was health. And if he stays healthy, this may be one of the best rosters we've ever seen. Mm-hmm. I'm only saying this because James Wiseman was so highly scouted out of college for being the next big thing. So if he lives up to that and you finally have Steph Curry's big man, who he's never had, that is...
Andrew Bogut.
I'm not saying Andrew Bogut. Or like Mo Spates. No.
DeMarcus Cousins.
Oh, no. Yeah. Don't even get me started on him. That's a Kings fan. Don't get me started on him. But the Warriors, with a healthy Wiseman, Clay, Draymond, Steph, Poole, Looney, this team is stacked. I have them at 60 wins.
Okay.
That can most definitely be higher, though.
Yeah.
We don't know. So, yeah, that's all of our list.
I think your list overall is great. It's not too wacky.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to be a little crazier. It's really just the middle there that there's a few teams that could fluctuate. But you gave amazing reasoning on the Kings.
I told you.
You almost convinced me. But we have to wait to see.
Yeah. It's the Kings. We you know, being a Kings fan, I've been hurt too many times. So you never know. They could end up being the 15 seed with my luck. So.
And if I'm not wrong, do the Kings play tonight? I know the Lakers and the Sixers.
I think we do. Play the Raptors tonight.
Yeah.
I believe
we do, because we played a few days ago.
I'm excited, though, for the Kings and their overall potential. I just don't see them being a right-now team like you do, Jamie. And again, you gave amazing reasoning. I just give them a few more years, and I think they'll be there.
The Kings' next game is on the 9th against the Trailblazers. That's going to be an easy win.
A few days.
Well, in a good game that's happening tonight, there's 2 really good games. Like Alex said, the Celtics and Raptors are playing, and the 76ers are playing the Cavs. So
we'll be talking about that next time. Mm-hmm. By the time this comes out, you've already seen those games. But I'm excited for the games tonight, excited for the future games. And I'm excited for the regular season.
All right, let's get it all wrapped up, boys. Thank you all for tuning in to WVUA 90.7 and the Full Court Press Podcast. Come back next week for more breaking news, debates, and our top five players at each position going into the season, and some of our hot takes. This is Jamie, Nick, and Alex signing out. Peace.
See you guys.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.